Let us bless God and thank Him for all that He continually does in our lives. Amen. 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 For our children, we thank God for them. And we certainly thank God for all of those who just take the time to invest in their lives. We are very grateful for that. I know I'm very thankful for it. I've had the privilege to be able to watch both of my children make the decision for Christ, to accept Christ as Lord and Savior. Had the privilege to baptize them both, and that is certainly not just the work of myself and my wife, but also just the community of believers. You know, there's an old African proverb that says it takes a village, right, to raise a child, and I think that is very, very true. To watch everyone collectively come together and love our children and care for them. And just this morning is a fraction of what is involved. And so we're very thankful for that within our community. God has blessed us with the opportunity to be able to get involved as much as we possibly can within our community. And I think it's imperative for all of us to know, and I've said this from time to time, you know, you don't have to be a biblical scholar to be able to share the great message of the gospel. But we certainly have been called to do just that. Before Jesus ascended back to his Father, he simply said, "Go, therefore, and make disciples." That is a call for everyone who has put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And you may say to yourself, "Well, I don't know the whole thing. I don't know it all. I haven't read the Bible all the way through." That doesn't matter. You have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Almighty God living within you. God knows everyone's situation. He knows what everyone is facing and going through. And the people that he puts in your path, he knows all about them. He knows exactly what they're in need of. And he will give you the right words to say, and he will help you to share the testimony of how God has been good to you. Amen. And as long as you know that God has been good to you and he has expressed his love through his son Jesus Christ to you, you can express. That's what the children were singing about. The response, they were reminding us, yeah, us adults, of the goodness of God and our responsibility to keep giving the greatest gift that was given to all of us, that is the gift of Christ. I'm not perfect, but I'm a changed person because of what Jesus has done in my life. You who are sitting in these seats today, if you have accepted Christ in your life, you know exactly what I'm talking about. But God is not looking for perfection. That's why Jesus paid the price on the cross of Calvary for us. But he is looking for hearts that are willing to surrender to his will and be the hands and feet of Christ. That when people are in need, when people are struggling, when people need to know truth, we'll be willing to share it and to love them as Christ has loved us. That's the purpose of the gospel. That's why he gives us the great message that Jesus died, was buried, and was raised on our behalf. Amen? Amen. Amen. And I am so glad that everyone today has mentioned the name of Joseph. today, and the reason why is because throughout preparing for the series, many of you who have been coming along each week, you realize that we've been really paying lots of attention to the characteristics of Mary, of course, the mother of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that the fact that she had been given such a great responsibility, her life was simply interrupted. Mary had plans. Her plans, she was engaged to Joseph. Her plans was to marry Joseph, to have children and things of that nature, and live a life, you know, possibly of prosperity, and raise those children to maybe take over the business for Joseph and things of that nature. But then God did what God does for the most part, and that is he stepped into her life, interrupted her life, and he did it on purpose. Because Mary, we found out, was ultimately part of God's plan. God knew, even as Paul writes, before the foundations of the world, that he would bring the Messiah into the world to save us and to rescue us from sin. But not just to save us from sin, but that we would have a relationship and be reconciled back to him in such a way that he would come and help us to live out a life that brings glory, honor, praise to his kingdom. My brothers and sisters, sometimes I don't know if we realize the significance of what Jesus did on our behalf. We are in partnership with God. God didn't have to, but God chose to allow each of us, yes, even in our wretchedness, our sinfulness, our rebellion, he allows us to be in partnership with him as he molds and shapes and changes the world with the kingdom of God. That's amazing. And it's not anything that we should ever take for granted, but should appreciate it. Every moment we have that we can talk to people about even their issues or allow people to come and share their issues with us. Do y'all know what I'm talking about? It's a privilege. To be able to pray for people is a privilege. To watch people's lives change, it's a privilege. And so today we're going to talk about how Joseph, and his character and who he is, his life as well was interrupted. His plans were to marry this young lady, and eventually they would have children. And those children would grow up, and they would be able to participate within their community and be the people that God has called them to be. And then his life is interrupted. In fact, he's given some terrible news. And how he handles it, as we see it, Matthew gives the account of the birth of Christ and things of that nature, but he focuses on Joseph, and I am so glad that he did. Because sometimes I think he gets missed, he gets left out. But I kind of see Joseph as the unsung hero. He's got to take on the responsibility as well, and there's some things that Joseph, by right, could have done, but he chose not to because he was a just man. He was a righteous man. He was a man who honored God, but he also didn't have his own interests in mind, but he had the same interests of Mary and the others as well. And those things are very important for us to see, and we can take those characteristics and we can apply them to our own lives, because being a Christian is not just coming to church. We can say praise the Lord, thank you Jesus, and hallelujah within these four walls all day long. But it's when we're outside of these four walls. It's when you're driving down a highway and someone cuts you off. Yeah. It's the frustrations that come along with being in relationships and marriages and families. We all deal with it, and we all come fall short of it, right? But we can all improve in those areas as well. And one of the ways in which we're able to do that is to look into the scriptures and see what God has to say, and then take those principles and apply them to our own lives. That's what this is all about, my brothers and sisters. Amen? All right, so we're going to be in Matthew chapter 1, and we're going to look at verses 18 through 25 today. And I'll be reading from the English Standard translation of the scripture, and this is what it says. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother, Mary, had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man, that's key, and willing to put her to shame, resolved to and unwilling, excuse me, to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill that what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God is with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but he knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Gracious and eternal God, we thank you for your goodness, grace, and mercy. It is our prayer, Lord, that you would till the soul of our heart, prepare our hearts to receive all that you have, that your word will be planted deep within us, that we may bear fruit for your glorious kingdom. Father, we pray in Jesus' name that you will lead us and guide us by your Holy Spirit. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, God. In the mighty and matchless name of Jesus, our Savior, we pray. Amen. Amen. Joseph, the unsung hero. As I mentioned, there are many things that we can see. And of course, as you know, in your own personal time in Bible study, you know that you can read the Bible from time to time and time again, and you'll be able to see brand new truths and realities, things to be able to apply to your own life. Today, I'd like to just share with you a couple of things that I personally have noticed in the life of Joseph as Joseph's life was interrupted with God's plan. And when God changed his life, the news that he had received from Mary, it's indicated through the text that the news that Joseph had gotten was the news that Mary herself had delivered to him. Now imagine how this situation really ultimately could have gone. Mary, she receives the news from the angel Gabriel about the fact that she would become pregnant, although she has not been in any sexual relationship or anything like that. But this is a miracle situation. This is a supernatural situation in Mary's life. It is part of God's ultimate plan. Plan for her, for Joseph, his plan for the whole entire world, that they would be the ones used by God to bring forth the Messiah, the Christ, the one who would come and ultimately deliver us from all of our sin and shame, reconcile a once severed and broken relationship with our Heavenly Father. Listen, the fact that we put our faith and trust in what Jesus Christ does changes our life for all of eternity. And she gets to be a part of God's ultimate plan for humanity, for her people. In fact, we know that Mary, when she receives the news, though she doesn't fully understand all of the details of this situation, she accepts her role. She accepts her responsibility. And when she does that, she gives God praise for allowing her for the privilege of being her servant, to serve him in such a way that it will ultimately bring him glory and honor. That should be the role that we should all be willing to play in this world. Amen? We have been saved and we have been sanctified. We have been renewed and given new life. And so therefore, our same attitude should be that of Mary's. That we have this privilege to bring God Almighty, the creator of heaven and earth, the one who keeps everything in order. Though sometimes in our lives things seem out of order, he never loses control. This is how Mary's life was interrupted. And she has to tell Joseph. She loves him and cares for him. She knows that his heart may be broken all of this, but she ultimately doesn't know his reaction. She doesn't know what he is going to do. But the scripture that we have read this morning tells us that she must have given him this information and shared this information with him. But there's some things that we must notice about Joseph. First is his character. If you can bring that up for me. The character of Joseph. This is so important for us to understand. And we're going to talk about a few ways in which we identify Joseph's character. First, Joseph's character, he was a man of faith. He was a man of faith. In fact, the Bible tells us, the text we read this morning in verse 18 tells us that Joseph was a just man. When you're studying this and you begin to understand that word just means that Joseph was a man who would choose to follow God. He would choose to follow the law, to do what God had called him to ultimately do. He wanted to do right by God. He wanted to stay in right standing with God and follow the precepts and instructions of God's holy law. So that gives us an indication about who Joseph is and what type of man he was. But Joseph also was a man of, of compassion. The Bible tells us in verse 19, he says that her husband Joseph, being a just man, and listen to what it says. He was unwilling, even though he received this news and probably was disappointed, probably maybe was heartbroken and even some confusion, says he was unwilling to put her to what? To shame. Now, we don't really understand sometimes the magnitude of this situation, but Joseph, according to Deuteronomy chapter 22, had the right to take her if she was found guilty of all of this and actually have her stoned to death. That's how serious this was. But Joseph, as my brother read to us this morning, listen, Joseph loved her. He cared for her. And I think, my brothers and sisters, we can certainly learn so much from this, because many times when people may, we find out some bad news about others and things of that nature, we have the tendency to jump the gun, don't we? Even if we feel like we are religious, we just all of a sudden are ready to point the finger and place judgment on others instead of prayer, seeking God's wisdom, seeking how we can express God's heart and his goodness, his mercy, his compassion, his grace, his love to others around us. And I think that's what Joseph, his desire ultimately was. He loved Mary so much that he wanted to make sure, instead of putting her in a shameful situation, he wanted to figure out what he could do that would bring glory ultimately to God and also still care for Mary. Which leads us to the call of Joseph. You see, Joseph was also a man of contemplation. Yeah, I mentioned the fact that Joseph prayed. It says that he would think through these things. But I can't help but to believe that if Joseph was a just man and he was a man of faith, that Joseph took this situation to the one that he knew could help him resolve the issue, to help him to deal with his emotions. You see, Joseph didn't want to make an emotional decision, my brothers and sisters. Joseph, I believe, wanted to make a prayerful decision. How important do you think that is in our lives today? That maybe when we receive some unfavorable news in our life, or things are not going the way that we thought they should go, that we instead of making an emotional decision, that we decide to make a prayerful decision. Amen. And I even have situations sometimes in life and in the past in ministry, and people will talk about how they don't like things happening the way it happened in church and things of that nature and in their own life and things. And I try to encourage them, listen, don't be emotional. Don't make it an emotional decision. And here's one of the reasons, because no matter what church you go to, you're going to have problems. Amen, somebody. Amen. Ain't no sense in getting quiet on that one. Any relationship you find yourself in, you're going to have issues. Because you're always dealing with people, and people just happen to be, if you didn't know this, imperfect. We have problems. Sometimes we don't know how to keep our problems to ourselves. We like to share them in the lives of others. But don't make emotional decisions. We've got to strive to ask God to help us to make prayerful decisions so that we could be smack dab in the middle of his will for our lives. And I believe that that's what Joseph's heart was. He didn't want to make an emotional decision. He didn't want to throw things around and kick Mary to the curb and send her out to the city and say, stone this woman because she messed around and she this and that. No, he wanted to make a prayerful decision because he wanted the best for his family, period. He wanted to bring glory to God in the midst of a terrible situation in his eyes. So he spent time contemplating on it, praying about it. And he got an answer. He got an answer. Let's look at verses 20 through 23. It says it this way. But as he considered these things, prayed about it, contemplated over it, behold, watch this. Behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, you want instruction? You want to know what to do in this situation? You feel like you have to make a decision on your own. You're seeking God's help in the midst of it all. He says, Joseph, son of David. That's key, because David is in a lineage, the coming Messiah will be in the lineage of King David. This is all promised in the Old Testament. You are the son of David. Do not fear. Take Mary as your wife. No doubt about it. Don't question it. I know you don't understand it all. That's okay. But God's got a plan. For that which is conceived in her is not because she's been unfaithful. It's because she has been chosen by God. And by the way, so have you. In other words, Joseph, you've got a role to play in the plan of Almighty God. In fact, that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. And I'm sure Mary mentioned this to him. So this for him is confirmation. It's confirmation that what Mary was speaking to him was the truth. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, which means God is salvation. That's why we shouldn't just throw his name all over the place. Every time we say it, we are reminded of the fact that God has saved you. That he has restored you. He has renewed you. He has reconciled you. Amen, somebody. For he will save his people from their sins. All this took place, Matthew reminds us, to fulfill what the Lord has spoken by his prophet. And he quotes from Isaiah, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel." Emmanuel means God. It's a reminder of the very presence of Almighty God. That God is, no matter what you go through, no matter what's happening in your life, bless you. No matter circumstances, no matter how terrible things may seem, you are reminded that God is with you. That he is a fulfiller of all of his promises. When God says he's going to do something, my brothers and sisters, guess what? He's going to do it. He's going to do it. And I don't know about you, but that's good news to me. That's good news. Which means God is with us. And so, it's important for us to understand that Joseph was a man of contemplation. Listen, this is the call of Joseph that's on his life. He must be a man of contemplation because now God has a greater plan for his life. God begins to open Joseph's eyes to his own will for Joseph and for Mary as well. The first thing he reminds him of is the person of his will, the fact that this child would be the anointed one, the Messiah, the one that would come into the world. It would be Jesus, the representation for God Almighty to be able to save all of humanity, his people, and all of humanity from their sins. That's good news, my brothers and sisters. Then he reminds him of the purpose of his will. In verse 21, he says, "She will bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from the sins." The purpose of all this plan of yours, Joseph, that you are part of, is so that God can accomplish salvation to all of the people of the world. I'm glad about that. Amen. I am very glad about that. And then, of course, he reveals to them the plan of his will, which you'll see in verse 22. And of course, this all took place to fulfill that God is a keeper of his promises. This is like, it's new news to Joseph, but it's not to God. And I don't know about you, but there are moments in my own personal life that I look back and I say, man, God was doing something in my life, even when I didn't realize it. I look back over places in my life when I wasn't a follower of God, but I know that God kept me. Long ago. And thank God there was a moment in my life when he just simply shook me enough to wake me up and remind me that his son Jesus paid the ultimate price on the cross of Calvary for this wretched sinner. And all I had to do was receive that gift of grace. And that has not changed.
It is the same today. If God can save me, he can save anyone. This is what the Apostle Paul cried out in his letter to Timothy. He said, listen, I am the worst of sinners. In other words, Paul was saying, if God can save me, a terrorist, one who went after God's people to murder them and persecute them, then he can save anybody. So there's not a person on this earth can say, I'm too bad, I'm too far gone, I'm too far off. No, you are within God's reach. No matter where you are, no matter what you've done, no matter who you are, no matter any crime you may have committed, it does not matter. God's grace is greater. He accomplished that grace through his son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Give God praise. And the final thing is that Joseph was a man of obedience. He gets this news. He contemplates over it. He has a dream, and he's answered, and his prayer is answered. God even reveals much of the plan to him. Watch this. But he still has a choice. He still got a choice. He said, that stuff is fine, God. I mean, I understand all that, but I can't deal with that woman. And what are the people going to do and think about me? I got a business to run. It's doing well. Things are happening. I'm making some funds and things of that nature. What if people don't, you know, buy my chairs and tables no more? He was a carpenter, right? I mean, I got a reputation to uphold. And because of what has happened, people don't understand all that. They don't care about that. He could have chosen to just say, I don't want to have anything to do with this. And not only that, you're asking me to raise my Savior? I'm not even the father yet. And fathers, you know how it is. You don't get instruction books when you get kids. I'm still finding out stuff. You know what I'm saying? Like you go to the hospital and the baby's born and say, oh, yeah, here you go. I'll tell you everything you need to know about raising these kids. That don't happen. So imagine the impact on Joseph's life. He still could have chosen not to be a part of it. But he didn't. He didn't. Listen to what the text says, just in case you don't believe me. In verses 24 through 25, it says, when Joseph woke from his sleep, conversation was going on. He did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife. Baby girl. I don't know all the details of this stuff. This stuff's crazy. But I love you. I was hurt and confused, didn't know what I was going through. I needed some time. I prayed, sought God's face, and he answered me. What a blessing for us to be a part of God's plan. Listen, Yahweh is using us to bring forth the Savior of the world. Now, listen, I want us to pay attention to something real quick. Now, I know that we all think, okay, that happened long ago, and, you know, I'm never going to have, you know, a baby, and he's going to be the Savior of the world and things of that nature. And some of the ladies are like, I ain't have no more kids anyway. I don't want no kids. But watch this. We carry within each of us the message of eternal life. This is what they're bringing forth. Remember when the shepherds were in the field, the angels said, listen, this day, peace has come. People say, well, if peace was coming, how can we all this stuff going on in the world today? No. For those who put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, they're reconciled and now have peace with God. If you have given your life to Christ, you have peace with God. In fact, Paul writes in Romans, he said, listen, not only is the wages of sin death, and he said, but listen, if you are without Christ, you are an enemy of God. But the moment you surrender your life to him, you become reconciled and have peace with God. There's a big difference. And so Joseph now understands, listen, he's standing there, he don't understand all the details and things of that nature, but now he knows that everything is going to work out fine. No matter what people say about us, no matter about the rumors that come along, because you can imagine they dealt with that stuff, you know, and Bethlehem and all that stuff, it's a small place that they were living in. Imagine, Gloucester's a small place. News get out, it gets out. Goes all over the place, right? So this is what they're dealing with. But guess what? He chose to be obedient to God's plan for his life. And eventually, and God, you know, God willing, we come together next week. We're going to talk about the actual birth when Jesus is born and how significant that is for our life. I know it's going to be on Sunday, and Sunday's the day after Christmas and things of that nature. But please come so we can celebrate together the reality and the truth of the fact that our Lord and Savior came into this world on our behalf. He was obedient. You know how important that is? We can learn from these lessons. We can be people of prayer, and we are made, because of what Jesus has done for us, we are already made just and righteous and holy. That's how God sees us. If you put your faith and trust in Christ, he sees you, not as an old wretched sinner, because he sees us through the lens of what Jesus Christ has done on our behalf. But we must be people of contemplation. We must be people who pray and have a desire to do the will of God and not make emotional decisions, but make prayerful decisions, just like Joseph. And of course, we know that the Bible tells us and encourages us to be people who are obedient to the will of Almighty God. Amen? Amen. Let us give the Lord a hand, clap of praise, and bless his name. If you all stand to your feet for a moment. It's an opportunity today to be able to, it's a privilege to invite those who may be here today, those who may be listening in, who have not yet surrendered their life to Christ. I will tell you that it is the most important decision you will ever make. Not the stock market. Not education. Those things are important. But the most important decision that you will ever make is that you are in right standing with Almighty God. And the Bible says if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, confess means that you agree, because that's what the Bible says about him. And believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. That's why it's the most important decision you will ever make. I cannot make that decision for you. Neither can anyone else. That decision is made only by you. And you have an opportunity to make that decision today. And I, like the Apostle Paul, right along with him, I beg you to present your bodies a living sacrifice to God. If that is you today, that you would like to make the decision today to surrender your life to Christ, would you do so now? Is there one? Father in heaven, we thank you for every opportunity you give to us. I pray for those who are here today and maybe and those who are watching or listening in, Lord, that may not have accepted Christ as Savior, that they will make that decision today. For we are not promised tomorrow. We pray, Lord, that they will choose you and accept the gift of eternal salvation through Jesus, the gift that is expressed through your love for them, that they will accept that gift today. We pray in Jesus' name, Lord, that as we depart from this place and never from your presence, that you will lead us and guide us, Lord. That you will grant us the continued wisdom that we need to live our lives for you, to be guided by your Holy Spirit. If there's anyone here today who are looking for a church home, a place where you can plant your feet and grow, we'd like to invite you to come along to be a member of White Marsh Baptist Church. You can come by way of letter.
by way of Christian experience, by way of baptism. If that is you today, will you come? Father, we thank you for all that you have done. In the mighty and matchless name of Jesus, our Savior, we pray. Amen. Amen. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you.